Hello, welcome everyone to the Into the 99 podcast, where we've got 99 cards because Commander is number one. I am your hostess with the mostest, NecroZac, and today we have a full house. That is right, we have six different people of the team here to talk about commanders we want to brew around and cards you should think about using for those commander decks. So, from my left to my bottom left to the right of the bottom, we have Benton, Dan, myself, Brian, Lotus, and Ryan. Can we get a hello, everyone?
Hello, everyone.
Hey, guys. How's it going this morning? Awesome. As Zach mentioned, yeah, we are going to talk just some of the things we saw in call time. Obviously, we went over the spoilers last week, but we want to just talk the archetypes of how we build, not specific deck lists, but just things that got us excited and what direction we're going with them. So, yeah, we're just going to jump right into it. Benson's going to start us off. Benson, which is the one you like the most here?
Well, you know, I'm going to start you off, and then we could probably end the podcast after that, because this is the only card, this is the only commander that's going to matter to anybody, and that is Arnie Brokenbrow. He is a legendary creature, human berserker. He costs two colorless and one red. He is a 3-3 with haste, so already a 3-3 for three with haste, fantastic. And he's got the new ability, Boast, and his is... Pay one, you may change Arnie Brokenbrow's base power to one plus the greatest power among other creatures you control until end of turn. Now, boast is you have to attack with that creature, and you can only boast once per turn. That's not going to matter. He's going to be the biggest guy in the room on your side no matter what because of that plus one. The reason why I wanted to brew this deck the most, though, is A, the art. He's just kind of chilling there in a throne. He's got a troll horn stuck in his head, which is amazing. And to add to that, his flavor text is him saying, I headbutt a troll and won. With that, so it's kind of like a Power Matters deck in mono red. There's going to be cards that kind of grow with the game. Torin Mahler and Hamlet Back Goliath kind of just grow every time an opponent casts a spell and you go around the table and it gets bigger and bigger. Another way I'm going to brew it is with pump spells that target a creature. Now, you don't want to really target Arnie. Like, you're going to target him afterwards with more effects, but you're going to get creatures out. You're going to buff them. And then that in turn will buff Arnie Brokenbrow. Like cards like Brute Force, Naginata, the artifacts, so those both give plus three. You're going to plus three something else, and then that gives Arnie plus three, plus one of that creature's power. And, you know, other cards, like, again, Power Matters, get two Fire Breathing and Fiery Mantle, cards that, you know, you got to pump mana into, of course, but they come back to your hand. Right, like, you know, instead of going to your graveyard, you can pay one where it comes right to your hand.
I actually hadn't even thought about the fire breathing mechanic on him because you're basically twofold in that you pump whatever you're fire breathing into and him. That is strong.
Oh yeah. No, it's gonna get nasty. You know, red deck wins 100%. That's why you guys don't even need to talk after this. and then I want to go flavor-wise, too, because I don't like. There's nothing like this card, and there never will be. Arnie Brokenbrow is the one and done in my heart. It was Togo. It was Togo. Now there's two red creatures in my heart, 50-50. So along with the theme of that, we're going to do some headbutting with Fling and Thud. Right?
Love it.
Just like, yeah, you're going to make another creature more powerful, and then you're going to throw Arnie at him. Right, so it's just going to be great in that aspect. I might even put Isochron Scepter in there. I love that card. So Isochron Scepter and Fling, so I can just constantly do it. and then the other reason, so, like, you know, the flavor there, but also Wizards knew that Arnie Brokenbrow was the best. They got two guys. God, I can't remember their names, and I'm sorry. But they got two guys who were Mythic in Arena that were also musicians, and they commissioned them to do a song about Arnie Brokenbrow. The full song just came out. You can look that up. But to give you a terrible tidbit of it, guys, you can, you know, you can turn off your headsets if you want. but it's amazing. Here's a couple lines from it. It's, quick and cunning, strong and proud. Tell me the tale of Broken Brow. Right? Write that right there. It's a 3-minute song. That's 2 seconds. And that was sung horribly. So just wait until actually you listen to the song. It's fantastic. Going back to that flavor, in Mono Red, there's one troll. Well, there's two, but one has a black ability. So there's one troll. It's Uthdin Troll. He's got a regenerate ability, so that's why, of course, he's still living after that headbutt.
Is he missing a horn?
He doesn't have horns.
Not anymore.
So like that right there. Right there. It might be, you know, it might seem like a dead card to anybody else, but you know. You know why that card's in there. And then lastly, power value. I know that, you know, out of the two Krinkos, one gets the hate for it. You know, he's a kingpin on Tim Street. he's gonna actually matter here, because if you're buffing him and attacking, you're gonna get goblins from him, but you're also buffing Arnie Brokenbrow. Right? And then Elemental Mastery, which you tap it, you get a bunch of elementals based on the creature's power. Dragon Throne of Tarkir is gonna be nuts.
Oh, actually, yeah. Huge pump.
So like the big play I want to do is I want to have Dragon Throne of Tarkir. I want to tap that, buffing Arnie, and then Unleash Fury doubles the power of a creature until end of turn.
Seems good.
I feel like
if you have that on Zata, how I said I want Zata in there, mm-hmm. right? So if you have all your creatures that are already massive because you're buffing them, right?
Like,
that's probably
going to
be
go with like Torbrand too and triple that or double that damage.
Heck yeah. That Fire Emancipation and a headbutt like Thunder Fling.
This deck seems like it'd be very capable of killing two people in one turn. Like, well, very, very easily.
I was going to say you could easily Chandra's Ignition with the big powers you're going for. Oh, just geez, wipe the table.
Card. There you go.
I feel like this deck needs one thing that you haven't mentioned that's really bothering me.
Zach, Village Rites is black. You can't put it in this deck.
It's not Village Rites.
I said Fireman. Oh, are you going to say Brash Totter?
Brash Totter. Brash Totter.
You know what's better? You know what's better than flinging, or better than headbutting someone else's creature? You headbutt your own creature, which is Brash Totter, triple the damage, and then you just, you know, Sean, yeah, there you go.
Maybe
fun being on the opposite end of that.
Just fight you specifically, Zach.
You said what?
We're boasting here. We're not taunting. Okay, that's not the theme of the deck.
I think they go hand in hand. I'm almost positive they go hand in hand.
And is then it the same thing for a goblin.
Yeah.
Honestly, yeah, so Arnie seems like such a good card, and there's. Right now, as we're recording, there isn't anything up on EDH Rec for it. Not many people have decided to brew this one. You're going to take people by surprise, definitely, with this card. But a Powers Matter deck really, really can just out of nowhere suddenly
get out of hand.
Yeah, because you're not waiting for you're not so much waiting for your creatures to be able to swing with Summoning Sickness, right? Getting a big creature, like if you can get an Eldrazi out, suddenly you have a 10-10 Arnie Brokenbrow swinging at you, and you're like, what do I do? And red has the ability to get those out. You have your sneak attack effects. Like you can really, really get him enormous and die to commander damage fast.
And within that, with the flavor wise, him always wanting to be the biggest guy in the room, he's going to be bigger than that Eldrazi because he gets 1+.
Yep.
All right. So you just.
What was Arnie CMC?
He's a 3-3.
Two colorless and a red.
Yeah, 3/3 for 3 with haste. Already phenomenal stats in itself.
Yeah, very, very early game commander. I like that.
And out of all the other boast abilities I've seen on creatures, like that black one that, tutors a card and whatnot, this one just seems like it's the most fun.
I think the dragon one's
a little bit of a
cool
setback because you do have to attack with Arnie in order
that's
to...
That's what red wants.
That's what you want to do. Either if you want to risk it with all this high power, you could put Bedlam in there, where right, you can just have like an actual onslaught of blocking and not blocking. You can force people to block that creature because it's huge and coming, right? And then you're going to whittle down their board. Hopefully, they're not going wide with tokens, but
They're going to block Arnie because they can only get hit so many times before the commander damage starts to get real.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Right? Yeah, but the good thing is. the boast ability works on attack, not damage. So you just boast and make them huge, and even if they block them, you're going to probably kill whatever they're blocking with.
Yeah, just one powerless, right? You don't even have to leave a red up specifically. You could have.
It might be good to include some ways to give him trample.
He doesn't want to trample. He wants to headbutt. Okay, you could put that. Everybody else can put trample in there, but I'm looking to club people with my noggin. that's it. So, guys, you know, people at home, thank you for listening to the podcast.
All right, good night, everybody.
Yeah. Anyway, that's Arnie Brokenbrow. That's gonna be my brew. I'm gonna hopefully that EDH rec number will
go up.
Go up.
At least one deck is coming. Yeah.
I'm not going to take claim for Thrasios Togo buffing up. I think I built that deck at 15 on EDH rec, and it's way up there in numbers now. I think over 100, so I'm proud of that.
It's getting there. You're spreading the word.
Is there 80 different iterations of your deck on EDH rec now of Togo?
If not, there should be. It's a dream. But now that, you know what I mean? Like, Arnie Brokenbrow, phenomenal. If you've never played Mono Red, I think that this is going to be a fun one to start with.
Anyone getting into Magic, like creatures matter decks, and especially hitting things with big creatures, is one of the most fun ways to start playing Magic.
It's very satisfying when you stomp people.
you're not trying for some tricky play where you're assembling seven different cards. Like Benson said, you're just trying to club people with your noggin.
And a lot of these cards still are pretty cheap. I mean, Fling's dirt cheap. Fire breathing, a lot of these are commons and uncommons, just inexpensive cards. So somebody getting into it, it's a pretty budget friendly deck.
Yeah. We're gonna go over to Lotus. So Lotus, introduce yourself, tell people where they can find your content and everything, and then which one did you choose?
Okay, so I'm Lotus from Lotus Bloom Gaming. You can find me on Twitch and YouTube at Lotus Bloom Gaming. You can find my articles on your guys' website, intothe99.com. And also, you can find me on Twitter, Lotus Bloom G, because it doesn't give you enough letters. I chose a card that can't be killed by your noggin, Benson. I chose Toski, Bearer of Secrets. It's 3 and a green for a 1/1 that can't be countered. It's indestructible, and it has to attack each combat if able. Whenever a creature you control deals combat damage to a player, draw a card. So that is already so much on a commander for 4 mana. However, we can go better. Let's go Voltron. Let's just go mad.
Suit the squirrel right up.
Let's just suit that squirrel up. But I want to talk about Magical Christmas Land first. I mean, everyone has Magical Christmas Land. So there's an enchantment aura for 1 and a green called Druid's Call. Whenever enchanted creature is dealt damage, its controller puts that many 1/1 squirrels into play.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so we're going for Magical Christmas Land. So we're also going to put on Pariah's Shield. All damage that's been dealt to me will be dealt to Toski.
Zach's got a smile on his face with pride.
And then why not put Lore on Toski? And then you have to block it with everything. We just have a massive army of squirrels. So we've got the Magical Christmas Land out the way, but if we do hit Magical Christmas Land, we're still going to go down the Voltron route. So we're going to try Conda's Banner. Don't know if you remember that one from Kamigawa.
I don't know that one.
Okay, so Conda's Banner is an artifact equipment for 2 colorless. It equips for 2 as well, so it's not too bad. And it can only attach to a legendary creature, which is Toski. Creatures that share a color with the equipped creature, +1/+1. Creatures that share a creature type with the creature get +1/+1. So all of our 1/1 token squirrels become 3/3s.
Oh no.
That's awesome.
That's a lot of squirrels.
That's a lot of big squirrels.
To go down that same route.
Those are the ones that you know are ready for hibernation.
So that's basically Kamol Heart of Krosa, but on an equipment.
It really is.
I mean, just shove Kamol Heart of Krosa in there as well and make them 6/6s on combat.
Gross.
I mean, that's just a massive, massive amount of power.
I've come to notice that you have a thing for mono green decks.
Only lately.
Refusing to partner anyone with Kadama.
Bye, Benson.
Yeah. This world seems super fun.
I've literally gone down. There's not many squirrels in Magic, and they're considered a joke. So I'm literally going to try and prove that they're scary. So if we're going to make lots of squirrels and we're going the Voltron route, we're going to put Stoneforge Masterwork on it.
Yep.
So the equipped creature gets +1/+1 for each other creature that shares a creature type with our squirrel. And why not just share the love? Why not? Give it an assault suit. That way we don't have to sacrifice it if there's a sacrifice trigger. And I can give it to you guys to play with.
That's fantastic.
I love it.
There seems like some real shenanigans going on here.
I mean, shoving an Argentum armor and I'll blow up your permanence as well.
please tell me there's an Akroma's Memorial in there.
I was thinking more Eldrazi Monument.
I was going to say that's where I would go.
then they can take out Emrakul.
I would go conscription, make the squirrel sacrifice the world.
Yeah, I mean, there's so many ways that you could literally do this. You could shove things on there like Black Blade Reforged because we're in mono green. Blanchwood Armor.
What's that, Worldbreaker or whatever? That equipment?
Oh, World Slayer.
Oh, actually, yeah. Destroy all permanents but World Slayer and your commander is indestructible.
Yeah, and we'll be drawing cards when it deals combat damage.
This podcast is full of bad people.
Yeah.
Squirrels are going to take over the world. Plan, except for a squirrel with a sword.
Yeah, I mean... Why would you not want a squirrel running around with a sword?
This is the up-and-comer that has to face Knife Cat.
I don't know how I would have built this, but now you've got me wanting to build a Combat Tricks Voltron squirrel deck. Like,
yes!
It seems really fun. Like you said, there was so much in Call Time during the spoiler season, right? It came out, there were so many legendary creatures to build. And then so many good things, you forget what's on these. That's a lot on a, you're right, that's just a lot on a commander. Indestructible, card draw, can't be countered, and aggro.
That's a ton.
Yeah, it's insane. And if they're going to block your creature, because it has to do combat damage, you just put an infiltration lens on it, which means if they block it, you draw two.
I feel like it's just Wizards saying, hey, sorry for, not having a legendary squirrel for this long. Here's a bunch of stuff on it.
Yeah, I mean, they tried in Modern Horizons with Deep Forest Hermit, but it just wasn't enough. We need more.
I feel like there's no way you don't just put like things like Earl of Squirrel in the deck anyways, though.
I mean,
if you're building a squirrel deck, you're doing it.
Yeah, I mean... Earl of Squirrel, if you really look at the card, isn't that bad. Squirrel Link is just, if it deals damage, make that many squirrels. That's no different from what I've assembled from Druid's Call and Pariah Shield.
Yeah.
I don't know if you guys actually have looked at the art for this card, but this squirrel has braided hair.
It's a mini Viking.
I'm just thinking...
All the animals in the Kaldheim have like braided hair or fur.
Oh my god,
that's fantastic.
This set did my background proud.
So there's so much you can do with this. You can put, I mean, this really made Ryan laugh when I said saddlebags.
Saddlebags on a squirrel.
Yeah, I mean, it does the same thing as Staff of Domination in the fact that it's three colorless tap untapped target creature or equipped creature. But it's the saddlebags. A squirrel with a sword and the saddlebags. What more do you want?
I'm probably going to make this deck today. I'm probably going to make a... You made me want to make a squirrel... an aggro squirrel deck.
I think it'd be hilarious to have someone like commission an artwork to do a playmat with the squirrel on it with all like holding a sword with saddlebags on it, carrying a banner.
Yeah, that's with squirrel. Boots.
Having boots on.
No one's riding a horse. They'd have to be riding a horse, like from the artwork for the banner.
Looks like on a horse.
Yeah. I mean, what vehicles would it ride?
And then it can have a bunch of squirrels following it in the background.
All in formation.
Yeah. I mean, if you really wanted to, put Helm of the Host on it, or put Helm of the Host on Deep Forest Hermit, have more squirrels coming in. There's so much you can do with this squirrel that I think people overlooked.
Oh, the hilarity.
I've always just loved that meme of blocking Emrakul with squirrels. That's who would win, the 13-13 flying indestructible god or 13 squirrels.
We now know it's the squirrels.
That's awesome. Yeah, that sounds fun.
But knowing that now Dan wants to build this deck, that's a win.
As soon as you said it, I was like, this should be a Voltron deck. I should make that. I'm a simple man. I got some extra sword of feast and famines and stuff. Let's see where it goes.
Shove a colossification on it. It's insta kill commander damage.
Yep.
That's awesome. Yes, it is.
Commander's plate. I got a lot of those in Commander Legends, and I would put that on this too.
Yeah.
Give it protection. Everything but green.
I won't flex what I also got in Commander Legends. But yeah, I got a couple commander plates too. It's a great card.
Oh, I love command. It's a really good card. They should have never printed that card, to be honest.
It's basically like the best part of Animar, like for protection wise.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty much.
I love Animar too. So many good ones. Ryan, what one did you choose?
So I chose Maja Bredegarde Protector. I've been wanting to do a tokens deck for a while and just kept bouncing around because it's like some are too powerful, some are not powerful enough. And then I saw this commander and fell in love. So it is two colorless, green, white, white, legendary creature, human warrior, and he's a 2/3. He has other creatures you control get +1/+1. And whenever a land enters the battlefield under your control, create a 1/1 human warrior creature token.
Oh, that's neat. I like that.
So I can hedge on the +1/+1 or the making tokens matter deck as well as a landfall deck. So some of the cards that I looked at originally, obviously, are Anointed Procession, Parallel Lives, and Doubling Season, just to give me more tokens when I make my tokens. Some anthem effects like Intangible Virtue to pump all my tokens. Out of the new set, a card that really struck to me was Starheim Unleashed, which is two colorless white for sorcery, and it has foretell of XX and white, and it creates a 4/4 angel warrior creature token with flying and vigilance. And if the spell is foretold, create X of those tokens instead. So just a continuous way to get massive amounts of tokens on the table.
Fortell seems
another card that is pretty sweet with Maja and all the landfall matter stuff was Divine Visitation, which is three colors white for an enchantment. If one or more creature tokens would be created under your control, create that many 4/4 white angel creature tokens with flying and vigilance instead.
Oh, you mean 5/5s.
Yes. and then like Luminarch Ascension.
Yeah.
So just keep pumping out a card that I thought I hadn't even thought of until I was digging through a giant stack of cards that I have is Helm of the Host on Maja.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Make a bunch of them.
Make a bunch of Majas and then keep getting the 1/1s. And then with Anointed Procession, Parallel Lives, and Doubling Season and Divine Visitation, I just make a mother load of 5/5, 6/6, 7/7 angels.
Well, you're seeing so much creature generation lately with landfall triggers, like with Scoot Swarm, Felidar Retreat, and stuff. That it's such a fun archetype to just play lands and get creatures. It's just really fun.
And how nasty is Scoot Swarm with Parallel Lives, Doubling Season, and Anointed Procession?
Yeah. Well, any of those token doublers just can get out of control, really, especially when you have a landfall, right? Like with a Scoot Swarm and landfall, a Harrow becomes a big problem.
Yeah, so that's the other aspect of the deck is running things like Nature's Lore, Rampant Growth, Three Visits, Far Seek, Cultivate, Kadama's Reach,
Migration Path,
Fetch Lands, just to really just keep making the tokens. And then, you know, what token generation deck wouldn't be fun without Elesh Norn to pump up my stuff and wreck your day?
I mean, you almost have to at that point run something like that. I'd personally run Karametra as well, because creature cast getting the lands, really double down on it.
That's a good, a good one I hadn't thought of.
I'd shove in Karthus Crusade.
Oh, yeah. Karthus Crusade is a really, really good card. Basri Ket as well is another one I'd put in because of his Karthus Crusade Anthem effect and the ability to 1-1 counters your commander. He has. I wish that they had lowered the CMC on this commander just a little bit. It does seem like a little bit of a high CMC, but at the same time, you're running a landfall themed deck, probably going to ramp pretty hard into it. So,
yeah, I was kind of thinking the same thing.
There's a lot of good stuff like timely reinforcements and all the ones that generate like multiple 1/1 tokens for this deck.
Mm-hmm. Well, and you're also in like the best colors for protection. So Teferi's Protection, Heroic Intervention,
Flawless Maneuvers.
Yeah.
I personally love mono white decks as well. And like white is good at a few things. And one of them is destroying lands. Another is just pumping creatures. And there's so many anthem effects in this. And your creatures can just get out of control so quickly. Like even the Heliod Flash enchantment where your creatures get like +2/+2 on the flash. That doesn't seem like a big deal until he has 40 tokens.
Well, and I also run Avenger of Zendikar in the deck, and I want to live the magical Christmas land of Avenger of Zendikar, Divine Visitation, and
Karthus Crusade.
One of the cards that double, like doubling season or parallel lives. So, you know, turn 7, I'm casting Avenger of Zendikar, making 24/4 flying angels with vigilance.
Have you thought about putting Champion of Lamphold in this kind of a build?
I have not. The deck's still kind of in its infancy. Like, I went through my collection and pulled everything that deals with making tokens and the extra ramp spells, and then I want to flush out the rest of it to...
As I've been playing more creature-heavy decks in green, I've been slotting Champion in a lot more decks just because, like, being able to tell someone you can't block creatures that are, you know, as big as... or weaker than Champion of Lamholt is just insane. And
he gets a +1/+1 counter whenever a creature enters the battlefield.
Yeah,
under your control.
Yeah,
and I don't think it's specified whether it's token or non-token. I think it's just a creature.
There's a new enchantment. Sorry to jump in. There's a new enchantment in the Kaldheim that I overlooked during spoiler season, and I'm actually so excited for putting in Tayam. But it would just be really good in this style deck. It's the Battle for the Bredegarde one. Obviously, flavor text wise makes sense, but it's the one in Selesnya. Its first saga is create a white human warrior, then a green elf, and then choose any number of artifact and or creature tokens with different names for each of them, make a copy. I love it.
That seems awesome in this deck.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Especially being able to make so many different things. And like you said, if you have a Helm of the Host, you can put it on anything silly in that deck. Like just the ability to, I'm going to Helm of the Host Avenger of Zendikar. Disgusting.
Or Elash Norn.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's gross.
Bad people.
Yep. Yeah. Yep. Yeah.
You
I was excited. Own. Originally, I had thought about doing that Serulf, the... I can't even think of his name.
Serulf, yeah, the Exile Wolf.
I can't figure out how to build that deck. So this is the one. This was my second card in the
set. So you went from Golgari to Selesnya?
Yeah.
Welcome to the right choice.
Yeah, I would just put on like things that give him 1-1 counters.
Yeah, but it still exiles everything. So even like enchantments that help you, it's just it blows everything up but him. That's where I kind of
put a Shire in the deck. A Shire makes other creatures land, so he doesn't trigger them.
Yeah,
yeah.
Put like man lands in deck as well. Ooh, so
that could be good. Yeah, like Crawling Bear and stuff like that, and just power pump those things.
Treetop Village, and
I would just find spells that put 1/1 counters on things.
But it is, it's the Maja deck, it's, like you said, it's interesting because you can deal with anything that's a Landfall Matters deck, anything that's a token generation thing, so it kind of, multiple strategies.
You can take a deck like that in multiple directions, yeah, like, there's so many things to do with it. Like I said, I would probably just build flat Landfall because I like Landfall a lot.
One of your favorite cards that goes in this really nicely is Field of the Dead.
Yeah, I would always put Field of the Dead in everything.
Dan has all of the Field of the Deads here.
Every time I see it, any store, I buy it. I don't have enough. I'm making a deck today that needs it.
He does what I do with Seabar Muses.
Yeah.
All right. Well, Zach, do you want to talk about some snow stuffs?
Yes. So I wanted to pick this guy. It's a Jorn, God of Winter. It's 2 green for a legendary blah, blah, blah snow god, but snow is the most important part. It's a 3/3. Whenever Jorn attacks, untap each snow permit you control. Then the flip side, because it's a god, so it has an artifact on the backside. It's Cauldering the Rhine Staff. It's 1 blue-black for a legendary snow artifact. You tap it, you may play target snow permit card from your graveyard this turn. If you do, it enters tapped. So I was not lucky enough to open one in my box, but I opened literally everything else for the deck. So I wanted to originally build this deck. I was like brewing with Ryan, and I was actually going to do an Arkalos Snow Tribal deck. And as it got closer to Kaldheim coming out, they started showing off snow stuff, and I was like, oh, okay, I'm definitely going to do the deck. Then they showed Jorn, and I was like, yes, the deck actually has a commander. So kind of what I've done with this deck is I've tried to put as many snow permanents and things that care about snow permanents in the deck as possible. And with this set, we got so many insanely good snow permanents that it's just, it's going to be really hard to start to trim this deck down. But as I was going through, there's a couple cards I really, really wanted to talk about. One of the first I think is absolutely insane here is Replicating Ring. It's 3 per snow artifact. You can tap it to add 1 mana of any color, which is pretty typical for a 3-cost artifact, you know, just a mana rock. But what's awesome, it's the beginning of your upkeep, you put a Knight counter on Replicating Ring. It has 8 or more Knight counters, you remove all of them, and then you create 8 of these tokens. It just, there's a lot of cool stuff. So, like, what I want to do with the deck, basically, is probably never play Jorn. Jorn is good, but the Cauldering, the Rhyme Staff just seems better to me. I like playing out of the graveyard. So just being able to, like, entomb stuff or block less favorably and then just recast it out of my graveyard. Yeah. So some of the cool cards that I was pumped about, Graven Lore. It's another new snow instant. It's 3 blue-blue. You try X, where X is the number of snow mana spent to cast a spell, then you draw 3 cards. It's always going to be snow mana. I'm never not going to play snow mana. With this deck, too, we get access to all the cool new snow dual lands. They're going to enter the battlefield tapped, but that's totally fine. Most of the time, I'm going to be just searching for them at instep anyways to put them onto the battlefield. That's kind of the thing I want to be doing. I want to be basically just outvaluing people. I'm in Sultai, so like I don't really care to counter people's stuff. It's more that I just want to constantly be outvaluing you on every situation, whether we're trading and you're losing something better than me because I'm just going to be able to recast it.
We'll be right back.
Ever thought modern video games should be more interesting? At The Gaming Blender, we take randomized genres, mechanics, and make a new game every episode.
I've added permadeath.
We have a survival game of a hardcore simulation, which could be House Flipper, and with the permadeath of XCOM. Then that all has to be an action adventure.
Yes.
Ooh, dear.
Yes.
And sometimes it doesn't quite work.
And you have a construction off over the course of the narrative.
A construction off? The way we can do this is that we ditch your idea entirely.
Entirely.
Check out The Gaming Blender on all your favorite podcast platforms now.
I had
Some other neat things you can do is run ramp spells in your pre-combat, then attack with them in your post-combat, untap all the crap that came into play tapped.
Yeah, it's just such a cool card, and they really did do an awesome job with the snow permanence. Like, I don't know if I'm saying the name right, but Morty of the Frost, yep. The legendary, the shapeshifter changeling, this guy seems nuts, just making, you know, a clone, except it's snow in addition to other types.
Something that I've seen on Arena is you use that with the new saga that mills 3 cards. And if you can get Morty in the graveyard, you bring Morty back, it copies it, and it just keeps doing it infinitely. And then you run either mill spells or Sir Conrad and just kill them.
Well, the problem with that is Sir Conrad isn't snow. So
true. It's true.
Okay, I think you answered my question with that. I was going to ask if you're going to run Arkalos in there because you wanted him to be your commander.
I am going to I do want to run Arkellos in here just because I feel like they missed the boat and it should have been a snow creature. With how he's flavored, it feels kind of like a spring or like a spring winter type thing where as stuff enters, if he's tapped, it's tapped, so it's cold. As he's untapped, he's like, you know, out of hibernation, melted, blah, blah, blah.
That's a cool way of thinking about it.
Another cool card that we got in this set was Ascendant Spirit. It is a callback to Figure Destiny where you have to pay mana and it'll get counters, and as it gets counters, it changes from one thing to another thing to another thing. So there's a lot of just awesome snow cards in the set. I still have to flush out the deck, but basically all I'm trying to do is just outvalue people. You know, typically what you expect to see in Sultai, but doing it with snow, so it's cooler.
There's a card that I ran in my Moldrotha deck. It's Sunstone. Have you used that one, Zach?
Yes, I went to my LGS and they didn't have Sunstone, so I'm probably going to have to buy it offline. But that's another cool thing with this, with Cauldron, it allows you to play target snow permanent. So you can play your lands out of the graveyard that you would sacrifice as Sunstone.
Sunstone is the 3 mana. You can pay 2, sac a snow-covered land, and prevent all combat damage.
Yep.
I love it. It is a great fog card. And in Moldrotha, like I said, if you're doing the same thing that Zach's going for, playing out of the graveyard, then obviously you don't care about throwing a land to the graveyard if you're just going to play it next turn anyways.
And like I said, we got access to these awesome snow lands, but they're... but we also got new snow stuff out of Modern Horizons. So another card I'm finally super excited to play with is Merit Lodge Slumber.
Yeah.
I couldn't find a way to make this card work, but in this deck, like at the beginning of your upkeep, if you control 10 or more snow permanents, this is a 2 drop, so it's going to count itself. But by turn 2, you could potentially have 3. Whenever you have 10 or more snow permits, you sacrifice Merit Lodge Slumber. If you do, create a Merit Lodge Legendary 2020, flying indestructible. That's awesome with my commander. If I have the Cold Ring, the Rhyme stuff out, and I have to sacrifice this to get my Merit Lodge, I can just do it again.
Well, yeah, exactly. The recursion on getting your Merit Lodge is really, really strong.
Yeah. And that's the big thing is, like, this feels like a Moldrotha deck. We're in Sultai, obviously, but just having the snow tricks, I cannot keep saying this, but like there were just so many good snow cards, and there's already a lot of really good snow cards to begin with that we had access to. Like one that I picked up that I really can't wait to play is where is it? Here it is, Oren Frostfang. This was only printed in a commander deck. This card was randomly snow creature type in the commander deck, and it's a 3/2 green. Attacking creatures you control have death touch. It's a 2/6, and whenever a creature you control deals combat damage to a player, draw a card.
Yep.
Yeah, it's real good.
there's just a ton of stuff. Like I've been spending since I got my box yesterday. I've been trying to whittle stuff down, and I'm just going to tell you guys, it's not been easy.
You just have so many things you want to put in this deck already.
Exactly. Like I've been picking up stuff more and more as the set had been getting spoiled. Once Jorn was a thing and it was solidified, all the old snow cards I was picking up just because, like, I was worried A, they were going to spike, and B, they were just going to be needed.
The minute that this set was spoiled, Into the North just went really up.
Mm-hmm. And I was lucky, like, I already had my copies of Into the North.
Yeah.
So,
Zach, I have a very important question to ask you about your deck, and that's on your basic land selection. Are you going to run Cold Snap, Ice Age, the Modern Horizon full art, or Kaldheim basics?
All right. So ideally, I want to run the Kaldheim basics because I really like the frosted, the frosted border. You know, like this that looks beautiful to me. I have a foil mountain, and I'm bummed I got a foil mountain instead of any of the colors in Sultai because I wanted it in here. But until that happens, I'm going to have to splash between all the sets because I don't have enough one way or the other.
I mean, another thing you could do is if you're actually playing Jorn, you could have something like Cunning Evasion. So you can attack with Jorn. If it becomes blocked, you get to return it to your hand, then cast it the same turn because you've untapped all your snow to play the other side.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, that's awesome. I definitely didn't think about that. I'm gonna write that down.
I wonder if they're gonna I wonder if they're gonna create a card that allows you to flip a modal card.
I don't know how that would work because, like, obviously, in theory, like, pardon me, it'd be really fun, but then, like, you'd be able to cast, like, a 2-mana, the Tybalt thing, like, 2-mana Valky and flip it to Tybalt. And
flip to the 7-mana Planeswalker.
That's, yeah, that'd be pretty rough. You'd have to be able to, like, tap it and pay the mana to do it, I think. While it's on the battlefield, it, like, which seems not that bad.
It would be nice to be able to switch them back and forth. I did like that a lot of these, like Alorun, for instance, the one that's supposed to be like the Odin-based character with the Raven, the flip side is very easy to return to your hand, so you can kind of feel like you can get a little bit out of both. But yeah, a lot of them are one or the other, and that is kind of a rough choice in the command zone because, yeah, like if no one's running Artifact Destruction, you're kind of locked out of using Jorn for the game now.
It'd even be Moonmist
for werewolves? Is that what does it? Moonmist?
Yeah.
It'd even be neat if there was a way that they could word it where if it was like a basic land or a permanent that had a spell on the other side that like you could flip it and put it onto the stack.
So one other card, because I've kind of been bouncing all over the place because that's where my mind has been while brewing this deck. There's a lot of, obviously it's snow, so I'm just going to be looking at snow stuff. But a card I was super excited to play, like you were already asking me, Ryan, like what kind of lands I'm going to play. People are incidentally just going to play Snow Basics just because, like, they look good. So a card I picked up right away was Rhinefeather Owl. It's a 7-drop blue creature, which is kind of a lot, but it has flying, and its power and toughness are each equal to number of snow permanents in play. I can pay 1 in a snow, put an ice counter on target permanent. Permanents with ice counters on them are snow, and so...
I like that. The another thing that is really nice in those kind of decks is extra planar lens. Just the ability to get that extra tap mana out of your snow lens.
Exactly. So that's kind of where I'm at. Just doing snow stuff, playing out of the graveyard, just typical Zach stuff, really. But, you know, this time with the weather being added to it.
Yeah.
With the snow-covered mountains. Because, like, I think about how many actual, like, regular art has snow covering the mountain.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a couple of those that, when I was, like, looking through my collection, I was like, oh, this is definitely snow, and it's actually not. That was very frustrating.
As far as you were saying about which snow-covered lands are the best, it is the forest with the owl on it. That is the best, and I will buy every one of them that I see.
I was so disappointed it wasn't a squirrel.
Oh, if it was a squirrel, it'd also be good, but
is it out of Kaldheim?
Yeah.
Why wasn't it Tusky? Tusky lives in the tree.
The only thing they could have put on it better would be a polar bear, but I'll still buy, like I said, every one of these snow ones that I can find.
I'm so frustrated too, because like I'm looking at my lands, right? I got 3 snow covered forests, 3 snow covered swamp. But I got 10 snow-covered islands. I guarantee I'm not going to need 10 snow-covered islands.
Yeah, but they're a good pull. Everyone always loves the islands. That's like a mainstay for Urza, and every Urza player is going to want, yeah, that's the one right there. I'll buy them all. I love that one. I'm probably going to, because I'm a dork, I'm probably going to frame all those snow lands. I just think it'd be really nice to get a foil of each of them and just in a nice little frame.
No, that's a great idea.
Another reason why I was playing Arklos too, and I'm also playing Amulet of Vigor, is because of the snow duels coming in tapped. It just gives me a reason for them to not come into play tapped.
There's also that card that says all snow lands come in tapped, so if you're playing against it, you kind of want to have something to fight it.
Yeah, the mono white, I think it's a god.
Yeah, I think so.
But, yeah, that, yeah, that new hate bear.
Yeah. Yes.
That turns into a shield.
Hate polar bear?
Yeah. There is some really, really good aggressive hate cards in this set. I can't even remember the name. It's like a 2-drop common that cards can't enter from the graveyard or from libraries. Like just the hose Zer card.
Uncommon artifact.
Yeah. Is it uncommon? I was pretty sure it was common, but it was regardless.
It's uncommon. And it's non-land permanents enter... I can't remember the wording on it, but it's basically Graft Digger's Cage, but instead of creatures, it's non-land.
Yeah, it's pretty first part. Like I said, I just read it as like the name of the card was Ho Zerdex, just Rex Zerdex.
I hate it. I hate it so much. Like every time, I feel like every time someone or Wizards will print a card like that, it's specifically targeting me. Like no one else plays graveyard decks. They are specifically going out of their way to make my life miserable.
Oh, I love the graveyard.
Dan, you want to take us home?
Yeah. The moment I saw this, this was one of the stupidest cards they've ever printed. It's a card that never should have happened. For years, Infect has been a point of contention in Commander because it feels bad to lose that way. You have to at least 21 Commander damage people. You have to 40 damage or more in a lot of games. But regardless of life total, regardless of board state, 10 poison counters kills you. And then they're like, what if we put this on a green creature? And what if we made it just silly? So they made Finn the Fangbearer, a 1-3 for 2 mana with Death Touch, which is already pretty phenomenal stats on a commander regardless of his other ability. But whenever a creature you control with Death Touch deals combat damage to a player, they get 2 poison counters. What a foolish way
this
for...
This is ridiculous.
Yeah, what a foolish way for... Because normally, like, the plus side of poison counters and infect is that at least it doesn't do the damage, right? It's like, okay, I hit you for 4 infect, but at least you only get those counters. This can still kill you and, like, do damage to you. You can still die from normal damage. You just additionally get poison counters. And it's each time. So if you can give your creature double strike, you can potentially be taking 4 damage just because it, or 4 poison counters just because it has Death Touch. And then it can still have infect. I don't understand their thought process or the design process in this card. But the moment I saw it, I was like, well, I'm building this because I'm a bad person on the inside. So
and the card pool for mono green infect was like 14.
Yeah.
But then and
it wasn't,
guy just
it wasn't that great. 42. But then they like all of these cards that were like okay cards, like Moss Viper, a 1-1 Death Touch for 1. Yeah. Now it's a 1-1 get 2 poison counters for 1. And yeah, Death Touch has always been like the threat is, all right, well, block it and your things are going to die, like, or swing at me and I will kill it. Now you've just shoved poison counters onto that. So obviously, like, I went hard into like the proliferation stuff. I'm putting the replicating ring thing in it, obviously, but like Evolution Sage, Karn's Bastion, any of those things that are going to let me spread those poison counters quicker, this is going to be an aggro deck. No one is going to just let you sit and have fun playing this. They're going to try kill you. The minute you put a point, it's going to be like playing Scryfix. You put it down, people know what you're doing. They're coming at you. So, yeah, I just wanted to build a flat out. I really like both Ronas. Both Ronas have the Death Touch abilities. I love Blightsteel Colossus because I'm, again, a bad person.
The deck's degenerate too, because it's like if you block, I'm going to kill your creature. Yeah. If you don't block, I'm going to kill you.
Well, Triumph of the Hordes is one of the most consistent win conditions in green decks a lot of time. You see a lot of Triumph of the Hordes. You see a lot of Crater Hoof Behemoth. Infect does not feel good to lose. And that's, like I said, a lot of times it doesn't feel good to lose to a combo deck. But if I swing with like 100 5/5 dragons that took me 50 turns out, no one minds dying to that, right? People are going to mind dying to this. People are not going to be happy seeing me be like, Bow of Nylia. No one's going to want me to have all my creatures have Death Touch. And yeah, being able to... Go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, I think this, and like you said, it's similar to like things like Tiny Bones and other commanders where the minute you put that commander down and say, this is who I'm playing, everybody's like, okay, it's 3v1, and then we'll play regular Magic afterwards.
Well, you're going to see a lot of Urza-style hatred towards a deck like this, because again, you're trying to do 1/4 of the damage to kill people.
Yes,
it just cracks me up because like you guys know about my Chevelle deck, obviously that's what kind of started me with you guys, and it's a Death Touch tribal deck, and now suddenly it has a way to just win out of nowhere with this guy. It's crazy that they brought back poison. We won't do infect, guys, but here's poison.
Well, so I saw a card while scrolling through Instagram the other day that I'm curious if you would add this in. So Sabertooth Cobra, 2 and a green. If Sabertooth Cobra deals damages a player, he or she gets a poison counter. During that player's next upkeep, he or she gets another poison counter unless he or she pays 2 before then to prevent this effect.
Yeah, exactly. You want to put all of those things in it. Like you... Again, you just want to infect people because you can give creatures Death Touch easy, or you can make a Death Touch tribal thing work, as Zach, not Benson, said. It's really easy to like build into that. There's like lots of things like Basilisk Collar. There's green just didn't have the support to be a real infect color.
And now it absolutely is.
And now they just put it in the command zone for 2 mana in green. So like removal doesn't really matter when it's 2 mana in green. Okay, I'll kill your creature. interesting. I will play it again.
Pay for four.
With honestly amazing showcase art. This art, it's very, very good.
Well, and like I built before Ronus was, I built all of the Amonkhet gods, and I really liked Ronus because of his death touch mechanic and how annoying it is to cast fight cards on something that has death touch. Because you can, like I said, you can trade 1/1s for people's like Voltron out commander, unless it's that squirrel. Death touch is not dealing with that squirrel.
Everybody's going to be running that one creature that says you can't get poison counters.
Oh yeah, Malira, I'm sure.
That's going to be a staple now.
Is there an instant speed way to give something death touch in green?
Who knows?
There's an instant that targets one, but not all.
I just think it'd be hilarious to run the King Kong and put him into play, then do that on him, then he fights everything and infects everything.
Malira says you can't get poison counters. Mm-hmm. Doesn't say you can't get infect counters. Doesn't say you can't get poison counters.
No, you can't get poison counters. But like, first off, like Solemnity is going to hose this deck. You're in green though, and if you can't remove something in green, then you've got to come back to the drawing board.
Bigger problem.
Yeah, exactly. Like you should be able to do that, but you want all of these silly like target creature fights cards, because like I said, the death touch removal is brutal. It really, really hurts a lot of decks.
Like I could see this deck being so much fun. Just like you get out like then you crater hoof, like, oh, my guy got so much bigger, and then I'm swinging at you with trample and poison.
Oh, any kind of overrun kind of things.
Finale of Devastation.
Hornet Queen's another really, really good one. It's 7 yep. mana for a 2/2 flying death touch, which mm-hmm. is very good. And when it enters, it gets four flying insects with death touch. 4/1/1s, yes. Which is, you know, that's your 10 poison counters on that creature alone, if you can hit.
No, Brian, I'm gonna put you on the spot right now. Since you've just been listening to us talk about decks, which deck out of these, which deck would you build based off of our brews or how we would go about building it?
Oh, I have to say that green's where my home is, and I would probably build either of the two mono green decks. They both seem, because I personally either go token. Well, actually, do you know what, Ryan Selesnya deck too? I think just the other two people.
Honestly, well, Brian leans into salt, though. I could see Brian trying to infect kill the table.
Yeah, well, I've already tried it with Yawgmoth. I can actually infect people once. In a color that I like.
I want to see it happen to me once, and then I want you to tear apart that deck and build something else. But I wouldn't
I've just been so busy with work and everything that I have barely looked at any of these like new commanders to be able to really partake in this conversation. But a lot of these seem really neat, like in a Voltron squirrel, and just imagining it with all of the equipment on it, just like the cat. Like,
well, let me just throw this. How about a Voltron squirrel with all those squirrels with Finn and Bow of Nylea?
Yep.
It works for turtles. We did it for turtles.
Another one I did want to talk about on that one though is Viridian Longbow. That's going to be one of the best cards in this because
yep.
just lets you ping creatures. The ability to have like a death touch pinger is probably the most annoying thing in the game.
You know what's better than Viridian? You know what's better than Viridian Longbow though?
Go on.
Thornbite Staff.
Thornbite Staff is good.
Yeah. It's better because if a creature dies, it untaps the creature that killed it.
Does Thornbite Staff do that? I should get a Thornbite
yeah.
Staff.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah. And whatever it's creature dies,
separate abilities.
Whatever creature dies, you untap
it. Now you're telling them to. Ugh.
I mean, they reprinted Vorinclex in this set. You might as well shove that in and get double the poison counters.
Yeah, that's also a silly card. I don't even know why they would print that. The foil of that card, the Phyrexian printing of that mm-hmm. sits at $450 right now.
Jeez, that's more than the Judge promo for Elish Norn.
Yep.
The regular Phyrexian printing is $130 Canadian. All
right. So guys, I have a personal question for Brian. Which version of Merit Lodge do you want to die to first?
Both.
I do like that dark deck.
Keep them at 40 and then just do 20 each.
I love that Dark Depths is a snowland. It's so fun to fetch with that into the north.
I know. It's so exciting.
I've had so much fun pulling out because I've only ever had it played against me, but playing it in my Thrasios Vile Smasher mm-hmm. deck, being able to just fetch it so easily. But
which one, the Vile or Dark Depths?
Dark Depths, yeah.
I love
bringing that out with Vesuva or
Thespian Stage.
Thespian Stage, so much fun.
You know what I need? I need to put Sakashima in this deck. I need so many Sakashimas, guys. And Orvar. I had a really hard time deciding between Jorn and Orvar for the deck I was going to talk about.
That another card in the set, too, that I like I said, I wasn't on the spoilers episode. I was not available last week, but that Battle of the Lit Jar or whatever card that is, whenever you cast a creature of the type. What? Why would they make this? I saw this. I saw it yesterday because I hadn't, again, I forgot what was in the set going through it because I hadn't really reviewed it. And I pulled this and I was like, well, this is going a Sliver deck for sure. What are we talking about, guys?
Same with In Search for Greatness. I have no idea why they made that card.
That's a really cool card. Yeah, here's the effect, and if you can't use the effect for some reason, you can still have something good. It would, if they didn't have that like scry ability on it, still a card very, very worth running. But then they're just like, all right, here you go.
Well, then you run that Sphinx of the Second Wind, is that what it is? Sphinx of the Second Sun, get an extra upkeep step, and then Paradox Haze, so you can In Search for Greatness three times.
Yeah. I did not pull any of that that really cool land, the your lands tap for any color?
The World Tree.
Yeah, the World Tree. Did not pull any of those. Very sad.
I won't tell you my pulls then. You already saw my mythics, but yep. I won't break your heart.
While you're grabbing those, I was opening what I thought was the worst box I've ever seen. I opened pack after pack, not a single mythic, and then I opened my last six packs, and they all had mythics back to back. But I was livid opening this box. I was like, this is the worst box I've ever seen. And I got nothing, and I was just like, Benson took all of the luck from this whole group.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you guys wouldn't have told me that's what the World Tree does, I wouldn't have realized that's what the World Tree does.
Oh, did you pull one?
I just didn't realize.
I think they're like 20 or 30 bucks, too. Like, it's a really, really good card.
The Goldspan Dragon's $30.
Is that the double treasure token one?
Yes.
That's insane.
As soon as I opened it, I said, neat.
My first one that I pulled was that giant, and I don't know. I feel like that's a bust mythic. I'm going to put it in Angie. At least I can throw it to the graveyard. The 2-damage giant.
I think that guy's better. I think it's players can't gain life. That is a huge.
There's better cards.
But you've got to remember, I'm not Brian. I'm not this way. True. I love life gain.
Benson, I'm curious if you're at any point going to get a gold-plated horseshoe necklace, like a Mr. T style, with the amount of luck that you have.
I should sponsor boxes. That's what I was thinking about on my Instagram.
I will touch your box and mail it back to you for $20 a pop.
For anyone who's not in our Discord and who's never spoke with Benson about his polls, I've never seen someone get better polls for any set in my life. Like it's just back to back good pulls. I never have good pulls. It is traditionally bad luck. I think I just get sold the wrong boxes from my LGS because they know I'm coming back to buy the singles anyways. So,
and you probably average out on the amount that you buy. I think Benson, there's another content creator out there on YouTube that does like box wars. So he'll crack two boxes and add up the value of the cards, and then like a Patreon will get one of all the contents of both the boxes. We should get Benson to do that.
Oh, I love that one. Oh, you got it on World Tree too, yeah.
That one you were talking about there, the Reflections.
Mm-hmm.
Mystical Reflections is amazing.
Oh, I did not pull a single of those, and I can't wait to go buy them because hosing people's commanders, one of the funniest things.
I picked up two, and I kind of regret not taking the other two that they had.
I play a lot of decks that is just the end of the game for me. You hose my commander, and it's however, you
this
win.
This was the card that I wanted, and I got it with my first box.
You got the Arnie,
my showcase Arnie.
Honestly, Wizards deserves all of the props for these alternate frames. I love them. They are, again, they don't care about standard players anymore whatsoever.
I love the double colored ones, the ones that have like, so like the green and white, like the one that Ryan had. I love the coloring of the borders.
Yep.
Like, they've been killing it with those.
If you haven't cracked any of this product yet or got any of it into your hands, the foils are actually of a different cardstock, and it appears that they do not Pringle.
Well, I haven't seen any of that yet. I didn't pull.
You have to physically feel it, but if you feel the card, it feels different than a normal card out of the set.
Since a day, and it hasn't curled.
Nice.
Yeah, I've got a couple foils, and mine haven't done anything yet.
No. Mine don't curl. I haven't seen that problem.
My name's Brian. Mine don't curl.
Sorry that apparently in all of Calgary is room temperature.
Yeah, we do have a good climate. Some of my secret layers, though, oof, just really
cool. Yeah, wherever they came from, like, it was...
Oh, no, even the Extra Life one, two of them were sitting non-sleeves, and those are already...
My Negan proxy is my Negan I'm using because mine is over there, and it's just...
Your Pringle?
So, guys, yeah, if you haven't cracked open a box yet, the foils are better. So at least there's that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, we definitely know this is their first few times printing foils. It's not like they've had 20-plus years to figure it out.
Yeah, that is true.
Oh, Wizards, what are you doing?
Yeah, like, it's really weird how, like, the etched foils had no problems, but then the regular foils
They should problem. Just make etched foils for all of them. The etched foils
were 100%.
Beautiful.
You have this set where everything, the showcase art looks like it's been carved into runes.
Yep.
Why would you not etch foil these? Like that,
the runes have been amazing.
I don't understand that, right? Like, that doesn't make, you guys have to feel the same way, right? Like, that doesn't make any sense.
Like I said, these alternate frames are very clearly for Commander players because they know we're going to go buy them and they know we're going to go find the foils of them. Like, they understand what they're doing. They get it.
Mm-hmm. They know their marketing.
I get it. I appreciate the options there.
Before we wrap up, does anyone have any honorable mentions that they also just really liked as a quick, like, passing note?
I do like Swolf. I really like, and I can't think of the name, the Gruul guy we were talking about, Dan.
Zvella.
I really like that.
Very Attack on Titan vibe for the alternate art. As soon as I saw it, I was like, well, I'm going to make this for sure. This is cool. Orvar the All Form, because you can't get enough shapeshifter, Zach.
Changeling
dog.
Narfy Betrayer King.
Yep.
Yes.
That just looks like Lord of the Rings guy.
Kind of. Saruman. Yeah. Sauron.
So I quite liked Cardor Doomscourge. We've already brewed it, but it was so much fun.
Yeah, that's that's a pretty cool looking one. Benson, any honorable mentions for you, or is it all Arnie?
No, like this Bergy here.
Oh.
I love Bergy.
Like, if it wasn't for the flavor of Arnie Broken Brow, plus that song, you guys have to check out that commissioned Wizard of the Coast song. And like, Magna looked pretty cool too, but I'm not a big fan of like Dwarf Tribal, whenever you cast a spell, add a red mana until end of turn, you don't lose that mana as phase's end, and creatures you control can boast twice each your turn rather than once. So this is going to be in the 99.
Oh, yeah.
There's a argument for that to go with Storm now.
Oh, yeah. I'm putting mine right into my cast deck immediately. The flip side of it as well, the discard a card, exile the top two. Also another really, really good one for like that Madness-themed Rakdos Angie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I bought that. Put Rakdos sleeves on it, never touched it. Not a single card edited to it. It's just sitting there. So there's been a bunch that have actually made me want to put it in because like I looked at it and I was like, World Gorger Loop, let's do that. And I was like, no, let's not do that.
Mono
Red actually brought it with a set, which I'm very excited about. Red deck wins.
Yeah. Brian, honorable mention at all?
Again, I haven't got a chance to really look at the ball. Let me see here. Because like we went through them last week. Like I really like the Tagrid that we talked about 2 weeks ago now.
Yes.
I'm really interested in seeing Like for commanders, I don't know. I've been kind of just trying not to build. Like I'm trying to save my wallet the pain.
Oh, that's good. You just trade, dude.
Yeah, I've already traded in a bunch.
Just trade in your Wheel of... You're like me. Trade in your Wheel of Fortune. It's fine.
Yeah, we should all trade in our Wheel of Fortunes.
Building a new deck is like going to prom. Sometimes you need a chaperone to help you out.
Oh, actually, I'd be kind of interested in building the Magda Brazen Outlaw.
Yeah, Magda seems fun.
Yeah, so like she's a dwarf, which I don't know what I'd be doing, but whenever a dwarf you control becomes tapped, create a treasure token and sacrifice 5 treasures, search your library for an artifact or dragon card, and put that card onto the battlefield, and then shuffle your library. So a way of like cheating out. Yeah, like cheating out. Like if you have it with the other dragon that you tap the treasures for two color or 2 mana as well, it just so much. So I'd be interested in building that, because then you could also run the goblin or that gets you all the treasures too.
Yeah,
Darkside Extortionist.
Yeah, that guy.
The other one I really liked was that Coma. I love Can't Be Countered. I love tokens, and I love Simic.
Hold on, I gotta find it because I couldn't pull it. But there was one other card. Maybe you guys can help me. It's the it's one blue and a white. It's the owl. I talked to you about it, Lewis.
Viga.
It's like
Yeah.
I don't. Cool. I don't much care for Azorius, but that card actually makes me really excited. I talked a while ago about doing an Azorius reanimator build.
Flying 2/2. Whenever you cast a spell from anywhere other than your hand, draw a card.
Yeah, I thought about doing an Azorius reanimator build around that guy.
I'm 100% going to do a foretell deck when the Azorius foretell precon comes out.
Yeah, that does seem like the best foretell commander. Like, it doesn't really seem like they really put enough other options into the set. It kind of seems like, hey, this is the one to use. Unless they had made that black one legendary. That would have been super cool.
I thought about using Alrond, but there's not enough mono blue foretell spells. There's like 10. I was like, you can't really do a foretell deck with a foretell commander with 10 foretell cards in the deck.
Yeah, that's not really the right percentage of cards with it.
But yeah, guys, thank you so much for listening. Brian, let them know where they can find our content here.
So you can check us out on intothe99.com. It's your one-stop shop for all of our content. We have articles that are written by our wonderful community that you can find on there as well. As well as check us out on YouTube for all our gameplay videos from our streams. If you're free Tuesday nights, check us out on twitch.com. If you want to help support the show and the content that we do put out, check out our merch store. You can find all these links on our website, as well as our Patreon, where we have some awesome tiers, and hopefully more coming in the near future.
Yeah, if you guys definitely want to check out other great content, check out Lotus Bloom Gaming. Thank you so much for joining us here, Lotus. And as we always say, if you find us on Apple Podcasts, like, leave us a review. Really helps out. Thanks so much, guys.
Good night, everybody.
See ya.
Send me your foil village rights.